Welcome to the Josh Wright Piano Podcast. Thanks so much for joining me today. Today we answer a question from James, and he asks the following. He said, I was thinking that a good topic for an upcoming video would be how to manage competition among pianists within the same household, be it between siblings or even spouses. I basically never play any of the repertoire my wife plays because I find it incites this competition in her of who plays it better, and it goes all downhill very fast. My kids are always competing who plays this or that better. It seems silly to carve out niches. You play Baroque, I play Romantic, and everyone is happy. There's got to be a better way of managing this. Thanks, James. So this is a great question. I've never had this question before, but I've certainly discussed it with students in their families, and my wife has many students who, where she teaches multiple siblings. And this is an important topic because if the two kids are thriving, you know, competing one with another, well, maybe you can make that work. But my teacher was always very careful to let us be our own person. Susan Dwellmeyer, I had a lesson with her this morning. It was thrilling. It was great. I still take occasional lessons with her before my performances, and she's just as brilliant as ever. But she taught my brother and I, and eventually taught my sister as well, who's about 10 years younger than I am. But my brother is 3 years younger than I am, and we weren't necessarily competitive. I was older enough and more advanced than he was throughout our development, so it was never like, oh, I'm going to try to beat Josh, or oh, I'm going to beat Jared. It was just kind of given that I was further along in my progression than he was, and he was doing great. He got a bachelor's in piano performance. He's a very fine pianist. So it wasn't like he was also, you know, oh, he's just so much worse. He was just so much younger than I was that we never were really competing. Some siblings are close enough in age that they will be in the same competition categories. And that's something that you have to judge as a parent. But instead of inciting competition with the same pieces, I have another idea that may help. Is if both siblings or both spouses are wanting to play a etude by Chopin, they each choose one that really speaks to them. And if you both absolutely love Chopin Etude Opus 10 number 3, one has to compromise. And James, if you're the one that has to compromise to keep peace in the household, then so be it. For a lot of years, my wife wouldn't let me play the fourth ballad. She's like, that's my ballad. I'm like, well, I'm playing all four on my doctoral program. I can't say I'm playing the first three because my wife isn't letting me play the fourth. So eventually I did play it. And it was actually a wonderful thing. My wife and I are not competitive at all. She doesn't like playing solo all that much, and I love it. She loves doing ensemble work, so we are playing the first Chopin concerto. She's playing the orchestra part. We love doing duets, and we both bring unique aspects to the playing. It's not like one of us is so much better than the other. We're very different pianists. We have a lot of the same ideas, but we play differently, and that is actually a huge benefit. So if your wife chooses Opus 10 number 3, James, and you want to choose another lyrical one, maybe you do Opus 25 number 7, the cello etude, which is just as gorgeous. And you compare notes with each other and you say, oh, this is what I learned today. This really helped me. Or, oh, this is a mistake I made. Don't make the same silly mistake I just made because I just did this and that was a good learning experience for me. And pretty soon you become teammates through the process. In this field of music, it has been really fun to transform my thinking. I was very competitive as a teenager and throughout my 20s. And I would look at all these other competitors and I'd say, I gotta beat them, you know? And now these are some of my really good friends and we laugh a lot about it. We're like, oh, do you remember when we hated each other because we were competing? I was actually never hostile towards like any of my other competitors from what I can remember. We were always pretty friendly to each other, but now we're like good friends and it's fun to discuss things. And when I have trouble with something, and maybe this makes me different than a lot of people in this industry that can be a little bit prideful, I guess. I'm like, I don't know if it's humility or if it's just genuine curiosity and a lack of pride, but I'm like, I'm going to ask that person who's super good at whatever skill or whatever piece, what fingering they used on this or how they did that. And I mean, you can ask any of my friends or colleagues. I've probably at one point asked them how to do something. And I remember my friend, I was preparing Rachmaninoff Third Concerto, and I probably in 10 different spots, because he had recently performed it, I said, hey, what fingering did you use here? And he's like, you're going to take me out for drinks and or dinner and a drink, and I will give you these fingerings. It was a joke. But basically, we were sharing the knowledge, and he was sharing that with me. And I remember his technique is phenomenal, Andrew Stopy, but he was playing this insane piece. So crazy. And he's like, why? He even asked me, he's like, why is my hand seizing up on this chromatic scale? And I was like, oh, what if you tried using a three there instead of a two or something? I mean, it was just some random placement of crossing somewhere different. And he's like, oh, that worked. And sometimes, even though technically he's much better than I am, it was fun to see that we both can help each other with things that you can get tied up in. When you're in the middle of a piece, you know, learning thousands upon thousands of notes, sometimes you don't think of things. I can't even tell you how many times I've gone to my teachers and said, I have no idea. I've practiced this for 3 weeks. And they're like, oh, change that fingering from a four to a two, or cross here instead of here, or organize it in your mind this way. So put a little mental break there. And it works the first try after 2 or 3 weeks of struggle. It's kind of magical. So getting others' opinions can really help. And having siblings listen to each other and then offer compliments first. Get really good at just offering compliments. Don't allow them to offer constructive criticism the first time you try this. But, you know, for a few months, say, we're all going to sit down as a family and everyone's going to play their piece and everyone's going to say something they loved about the performance. And then as they get more mature and they trust each other, then every once in a while you can say, is there anything constructively that you thought they might be able to do a little bit better? And then they start thinking critically and they think, ooh, like he played really well. How am I going to critique that? And it creates less of a competition atmosphere and more of a teamwork atmosphere. So I hope that helps. I would avoid siblings very close in age entering all the same competitions. There's enough competitions out there that you don't need to do that, because as soon as one sibling beats another one in a competition, that's going to create some mental blocks for the one who lost and possibly some ego or arrogance in the one who won, or even guilt in the one who won, like, oh, I'm going to make my sibling feel so bad. I would just avoid that. I think that's a recipe for disaster. But working together, listening to each other play, offering compliments to each other, attending each other's competitions and recitals. There's nothing wrong with students competing or playing on the same recital. Like, you don't need to avoid that. But the same category in the same competition, I would avoid that. I don't think that's probably a great idea psychologically for either party. And I hope that gives you a little bit of insight in how I would tackle this problem. This is a problem that my wife never let arise. I'm definitely the more competitive one out of the two of us, but we've never been competitive with each other. I remember we competed a lot growing up, and I beat her in some competitions and she beat me in some competitions, and we'd laugh about it. I actually asked her out after she beat me in one of my competitions. I said, hey, with those earnings, should we go out to dinner? And it was just a funny joke. But it's always been a very mutual respect for each other's talents and abilities. And I know that if Lindsay says it's good, my wife, if she says it's good, it will usually be fine with my teachers. But if it doesn't have Lindsay's stamp of approval, usually I don't. I keep working before I take it to a teacher, just because I know she's extremely picky, and she knows my playing arguably better than anyone else in the world because she hears me practicing all the time. So look at simultaneous piano study, James, even within the same eras, like you can both work on Baroque pieces. There's so much great piano repertoire out there. Like if you're playing the euphonium or something as a family, well, maybe you have to share some of the same repertoire if there isn't enough to go around of, you know, wonderful pieces. I don't know. That's just generic. Sorry, euphonium players. That was not meant to be offensive. But I know my brother plays saxophone and he's like, yeah, there's some pretty standard pieces that every sax player has to play. And in piano, there are too. I mean, everyone plays preludes and fugues, but hey, you got 48 to choose from. Everyone plays Chopin etudes, but you've got 24 or 27 if you're including the Nouvelle. Hopefully I'm saying that right. Etudes, which are lovely. I love those pieces. There's enough repertoire to go around that you don't need to be playing the same piece, even if someone has to compromise. And if you do want to play the same piece, spread it out. So, okay, you can take it this year, but next year that's my piece. If you absolutely both have to play the same piece, don't be doing it at the same time because you'll start to feel bad that you're unable to do something that they can do or vice versa. So I hope that helps. If any of you have a podcast request, please email me. My email is josh@joshwrightpiano.com. Just in the subject line, put podcast and then put your question. I'd be happy to cover it in an upcoming episode. I will also leave a link to a few helpful resources in the description below, no matter where you're listening to this. It will contain a link to a free webinar containing 10 of my favorite tips. Definitely check that out if you haven't already. These are tips I use every single day in my teaching and also in my practicing, a link for a couple of my paid courses if you'd like to go even further with your studies in those. I also have some free videos on that platform that you can check out beyond my YouTube channels, YouTube and social media channels. And then lastly, I will leave a link for my gear kit, basically all the gear that I use to record these podcasts, to record my YouTube videos, to record albums, things like that. And I hope that's helpful. Also a link for premium used Steinway pianos. The piano that I've demonstrated on today was restored by my piano technician, and he restores used Steinways. If you'd like to check out his inventory, you can contact him at that link too. Have a great week. Good luck in your practice sessions.